Good morning, Christ Church. It is good to see you this morning. Happy birthday. So this is our 1 year anniversary, and it's going to be a special time this morning just celebrating together. So let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much for the opportunity today to really celebrate you, to celebrate what you're up to in South Philly, God. You've been up to something long before we got here. You've been working in this city already, and God, we're so grateful to come in and be part of what you are already doing to make the name of Jesus known in this city so that people might treasure him and people might glorify him with their lives. And God, we pray that you would bless us and that you would glorify your name this morning through everything that happens. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen.
Some verses that help me organize my thoughts as I thought about this past year come out of Acts chapter 2. And it says, "And they had devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. They were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people." And I thought about this past year and about the fellowship that we've had and about the times that we've broken bread and as we've listened to God's word, I was just filled with just thanksgiving. I just feel like these verses represent the community that we're seeking to build here. You know, and this reference to like selling all their possessions, like a lot of us, some of us kind of sold, you know, a lot of stuff and moved into the city because we wanted to have this community. And I believe these verses represent hope. And I wanted to just give thanks to God for each of you because this community can happen by the grace of God. And we can do these things together. I want to especially just give thanks to God for the small group that we met week after week in our homes, having meals together. I was just so encouraged at thinking back this past year about all the times that we broke bread together. This is like meals, not necessarily breaking bread in communion together, but just having food together, being together. And I was so encouraged, and especially the men, as they lifted me up, when I struggled and when I doubted, praying for me and caring for me. And I believe these verses end with, "And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." And these verses just give me so much hope. You know, looking past this past year, I just see great hope for this coming year that God's going to add to our number, that each of these seats are going to be filled, and we're going to have to add more seats around this area just because God is going to bring people amongst us. Praise God.
I just feel like, as I was thinking through what I would want to share this morning, so many things came to mind. But two things I want to share that kind of stood out to me. And one is towards the very beginning when we were first starting to renovate the building, Jeff had gotten sick, and Jim, you'll remember this because we met with someone very influential in getting us in here. And something he said to me stuck with me back then and kind of saddened me in a way. And he said, "You guys are in over your heads." And what we were trying to do is we were trying to see how we can make this thing work. And when he said that, Jim, you remember that. And we looked at each other and we said, "You know, that's true. We're in over our heads." But through the process of time, God began to speak to me. And actually, this is interesting because this is my devotional this morning. I'm in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, where it says, "The foolishness of God is wiser than men. The weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the things of the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty and the base things of the world. And the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are." And then this really got to me, that no flesh should glory in his presence. And so in light of what that man said to us that day and how I felt back then, how true it was, I thought, you know, you're right. We're in over our heads. What are we going to do? But God, I mean, look at this. God has brought us through. That's encouraging to me. The other thing I wanted to share was from the archives of Christ Church. I went back into my email and dug this out. And I wanted to share something that occurred around the time that we started this church. So I have two emails, both from Jeff, Pastor Jeff, one just before we started and one right after. And I just want to read a section of both of these to show us God's grace in giving us a pastor. And this isn't to pump Jeff up or anything. This is to show God's grace to give us a pastor who is leading this church the right way. I have two emails, pre-surgery and post-surgery. And I'm just going to read a section of each one. Where Jeff talked about his condition, and they said the following. He said, I'm very grateful that before I was even born with Crohn's disease, that I had been born again by God. And this was part of his covenant purpose to bring salvation through Christ. He's the one who promises to carry me, bear me, and save me. And this is not a promise that he'll forget or not carry out. And a little further, he says, God's commitment to be with me came at the cost of his own hands being bloodied for me. He suffered so that my suffering could have an end. And he goes on and on. This is Jeff pastoring God's church through his own sickness. And then the other one was right after his surgery, and this is a very short section I want to point out, again, to show God ministering to us through our pastor. It's so good to be able to rest not only in the goodness of God's sovereignty, but in the power to heal, his power to heal. Talks about lessons that he's been learning from all this. And then he says, also, I continue to meet a ton of new people, doctors, nurses, administrators, whom I would have never met had I not been sick. So Jeff is pastoring the people who are caring for him. And the only reason I point this out is to just make it clear to us and just remind us that God is protecting his church no matter what we go through. So thank you, Jeff, for pastoring us.
I don't really have planned out what I wanted to say, and I'm not as eloquent as those two people are, but I just want to give glory to God for changing my heart, not only for saving me through, I feel like even though I grew up in a Christian church, I feel like I did become born again through the teaching of our other church in Marlton. But I just want to give glory to God for changing my heart to want to come to live in the city, because I grew up in the country, I had my dreams and my plans, and at my age I was going to be in the country in a home with a wraparound porch. I had it all decorated. I was going to be far away from neighbors. I wanted to be isolated. And he changed my heart. I didn't mean to do this. But at the beginning of our marriage, we did live in Philadelphia. We lived at 22nd and Arch, and I hated it. We lived at on Woodstock Street near the jail, and I hated it. We lived at in Roxborough, at Schur's Lane, right across from a bar, and that's where our son was born. And I said, I got to get out of the city. I don't want to raise, you know. And then we got our first house on Delmar Lane in Roxborough. And then God gave me what I wanted, and that was a house in the kind of the country in Williamstown, you know, with a big backyard. And but it was in a development, and sometimes I didn't like living so close to those neighbors. And then, anyway, to fast forward, God laid it on my husband's heart to consider moving to the city with the church plant. And I said, you're telling people we're not going, right? Like, it wasn't even a prayer of mine. And somehow, just like in salvation, when God transforms our hearts and he puts his desires in our heart, God gave me his desire to come to the city, and I love it here. I walk out my door and I see neighbors and I love them. And it's just God's work to change hearts like that.
Wow. Well, as many of you guys know, I grew up actually on a church plant in Chester, Pennsylvania, which is right down 95, when I was little, just like all these little guys here. And God put on my heart, even at that age, just being involved in a church plant there, a desire to be, you know, in community, in an urban environment, to, you know, bring the gospel. And little did I know when I was, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, 11, 12, that I'd end up here in South Philadelphia with all of you guys. And it's just thinking back, it's just incredible to see how God works and to see how God cares and to see how God cares for each of us and also cares for this city. Because I was in the Washington, D.C. area. I had a whole, that's where I, you know, gone to college, that's where I had my job, that's where we were going to be growing up, and we had considered at different points, you know, oh, maybe there's different church plants that are happening in the D.C. area in more urban environments. We just never really felt that God was saying, you know, that we should go. And I guess it was probably about 2 years ago, almost exactly 2 years ago or so, that I saw this YouTube video, as many of you guys know, with this guy and just talking about his heart and vision for starting a church in South Philly that was built on building relationships with people and, you know, just showing God's love to people through those relationships. And I knew then in watching the video that we're going to be going to South Philadelphia. And I showed my wife, and her first response back was, you know, so are we going? And here we are 2 years later, almost to the day, because it would be next week, actually, that I saw the video. And in an auditorium full of people that I love and people that I care so much about, and, you know, some of the dearest people on earth to me. And it's just cool to see how God takes people from different places, whether they in Philly, whether from Jersey, whether from Pennsylvania, or whether from the Washington, D.C. area, and brings them here because he cares about South Philly and because he cares about people's lives being transformed by what he's done for us. So I'm just so grateful to be a part of this, so grateful to be here with each of you. As I look at your faces, there's different, you know, just so much emotion as I, you know, think about, you know, these are the dearest people. These are the people that I want to, you know, work together, that I want to live life together with, because you guys, you know, share a heart for the gospel, because you guys care about other people so much. And it's like, looking back, I just feel like I've made so many sacrifices, one would say, when you look at, you know, the transition with, you know, selling our house, uprooting, leaving all of our family behind. But I feel so rich being here, looking at you and knowing what God's doing here, because of the relationships that he's built, because of who you guys are. So I'm just so grateful to God for how he works, how he brings people who wanted to live out in the middle of nowhere to living with people all right next door. And to all the little people, do you want to say hi?
Okay.
Say hi. Okay. You say hi?
Hi.
Okay. And just so grateful just to be here, living community with you guys, and just seeing God working in each of us and seeing God working through us. You can say hi now? Okay. Let go now. So just so grateful.
Hi.
Okay, it's Daddy's turn to talk. You'll get to talk in a little bit to Pastor Jeff. He'll walk around with the mic, and then you get to talk to him. Okay. So, just so grateful to be here with you guys and to see how God's work to bring to bring us all together, whether it's, you know, from the little people to the big people. And I'm just excited too to see what is God going to do in the little guys in our midst. How is he going to shape and change their heart? Because when I was young, I was in a similar environment, and God really used it to transform my heart and, you know, to give me a vision and to give me a passion that led me to here. So thanks so much, guys, for just the way you love and the care and the sacrifices you guys have made. And I'm just so grateful to God that he's brought us all here and brought us all together. And excited to see what he's going to do in 2015 and beyond here in South Philadelphia and the surrounding area. So thanks.
And I'm basically going to sum up what Joe just said, because we didn't talk, but I have the same thing planned. So anyone who knows me, I'm a social media addict. So I just went back to my Instagram account, and 75 weeks ago today, I posted a picture of the Philly skyline. And I wrote, because I'm different than Joe. I didn't grow up in the city. I grew up in the country. I raised horses and cows, goats, chickens, pigs, everything. So this was meeting Joe. The whole idea of church planting in the city was completely out of my thought. But we met on a church plant, and I loved what God was doing in the church plant that we were a part of as singles. And got a husband out of it, so it totally worked out well for me. But I was amazed at what God was doing, and being at the grassroots level of a church beginning was really exciting. Watching people come to Christ that hadn't known him before, I wanted to be a part of that for the rest of my life. I wanted to be a part of watching God do things on church plants, and not particularly just going on lots of church plants, but just being a part of it. So started to date Joe, then we got married. My heart grew and grew and grew for this city for many reasons that Joe's heart, just the population in the city, the diversity in the city, living with people next door, people on your stoop. Like, I was growing in passion for it. So my Instagram account, 75 weeks ago, we had literally just moved to the city, and I posted 6 years of dreaming and praying, because that's how long I had known Joe at the time. One new church to be planted. 6 months of knowing that we were called to go. So we watched that YouTube video, and in 6 months, we talked to everyone we knew whether or not we were supposed to go, did a lot of praying, put our house on the market, and moved up. So in that 6 months, we had one new baby that was born into our family. Our house back home in Maryland was remodeled. We took 9 trips up here to Philly. Our car died. We got a new car. 13 in-person interviews for Joe for a new job, dozens, and we couldn't even count, phone interviews, 3 job offers, all the negotiating, got the job. Our house went up for sale in Maryland. And then I wrote, the crazy transition may not be quite over, but we are home. And since then, we lived in 4 different places in a year here in Philly till God allowed us to buy our house. We lived for 6 weeks with Nick and Allie at their home. We didn't know them at all. And Joe and I slept on a twin bed in their guest room with 2 cribs and our dog in a 9x9 room. And it was an awesome 6 weeks. But we made it. And Nick and Allie are some of our best friends, so it all worked out well. But I think watching this video, my heart was totally overwhelmed with the fact that we did not know any of you. We did not know our neighbors. I personally did not know Philly 1 year ago, and yet I can never imagine leaving. Like, this place is so home to us. You guys are home to us. And like Joe said, the sacrifices don't even pale. They pale in comparison to the benefits that God's blessed us with.
Nobody broke the mic. I was thinking, I see all of you, and I think when Jeff and I started praying about this church plant, I didn't want to go to Philly, as most of you knew. I didn't want to go to the city. It scared me. And even thinking about, who's going to come? Nobody's going to come on the plant with us. Nobody wants to move to Philly. And I just, I think we would both say, I see you. I see how much the Lord has done. And I'm just amazed at God's faithfulness. And I think that's the theme, that every time we doubt, God is just like, well, just wait and see. And so I'm thankful for all of you. I'm thankful for the relationships. I see even how the Lord has knit us all together, individually even, in your own friendships. And just thankful for the group he's created. It gives me hope for who else is going to come. You know, Steve read the passage, I think, from Acts, that the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And I think my heart is just overwhelmed in gratefulness for each of you who did not even have a love for the city and now can't imagine anything better. I think of people who cared for us during Jeff's illness and how it was safe for us, for him to be sick. And you did that with joy. You served us. You encouraged us. You prayed for us. And it's, you know, you were the church. It didn't depend on us. And I'm thankful for even how you cared for us. And, most of you came to, if not prayed for us, to my stepdad's funeral. We were shocked by that. And just, I think I remember being with some of my friends before the church plant, thinking, none of my friends are going to come. Nobody's going to come on the church plant with us, and we're going to feel so alone. And I feel like, thinking about all of you, I feel like I've never felt deeper friendships than I have here. And I'm thankful for even the care and just the community we feel, and how all of you, more than anything, I feel like are missionaries here with us. That's what it feels like. It feels like a mission field. And I cannot say more of how grateful we are for the Lord and how he has brought you here. And we just love you, and we're thankful.
So, good morning. Tilt this up a bit here. I wanted to speak about sort of the cliche that hindsight is 20/20, and from a secular perspective, that's usually, you know, talking about regrets. But seeing how God's plan has been in the works in ways that we didn't realize at the time. When I first came to the East Coast, I came down to Camden to do ministry for a year, maybe two, and I just stuck around and got my degree at Rutgers Camden. And why does that matter? It matters because while I was getting my master's degree, Angie was getting her undergrad, and so we had a course together in math, and Jeff was leading the campus crusade, and I got a chance to hear him preach. And at the time, it was, oh, how cute, Julie's kid brother is leading his campus ministry. And it never occurred to me that he would be my pastor in a formal way. And so that's one way that I think God drew us here, was for me to see his love for God in that context, and his ability to lead even in that smaller context. And then continuing on, why did I stay at Urban Promise even longer? Well, it was so that I could meet my wife. And then once we got married, why did we keep renting instead of buying a house? Why did we stay in South Jersey when I actually had a job offer for closer to Elise's parents and in the mountains and in the country, as some other folks have shared that they love, and we love the country too. And at the time, the church plant wasn't on our minds. We were thinking maybe we were called to stay at Marlton, and it was right after taking the job here in Philly that we found out about the church plant and felt like God was lining things up. And because we were just renting, we were able to be one of the first families to move in. And the timing of that really mattered, because that first summer, Elise was somewhat notorious in our neighborhood, being the pregnant woman pushing two kids around in a stroller, two toddlers around. And that meant that one evening when I was pushing the two, some girl from the neighborhood stopped to say hello, and we got to chatting. And she said her boyfriend was struggling in his math class at community college, so I just offered to tutor him. And not only did I tutor him through the semester, but they've become friends of ours in the neighborhood. When they moved in to a new apartment, I was the one that he called to help move because none of his other friends were able to come. And they haven't been here on a Sunday yet. We didn't really have space, but they have been to a few other churches, and we've had some conversations. And there are other folks in the city that I wouldn't really be friends with just on my own. I don't have a lot in common with Mike and Layla. I don't have a lot in common with some other of my colleagues, but through the Holy Spirit guiding us, we've been able to reach out and form relationships. And so the scripture that came to mind was, there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free. And whether that's folks in the body or just folks in the neighborhood that aren't yet part of Christ Church or some other church, just seeing how God works in ways that we don't realize at the time, and how God brings us relationships with people. And who knows where those are going to go, but it's pretty special. Okay. Evie, would you like to say hi? No, okay. So, thank you.
Hi, church family. I was looking through some journal cards that I keep every day, and I went back a full year, and it's amazing, God's just faithfulness to us, and how this whole journey hasn't been about just getting here, but it's been about changing our hearts and our character and molding us to what He wants us to be. So throughout this whole year, we had our house up for sale, our house not for sale, our house for rent, our house not for rent. Money's not available, money's come available. Lots of personal challenges in this year, but it just went to show how God was working in our hearts the whole time and how he's there to change us and mold us to what He wants us to be. And that was part of the whole journey to Christ Church, is changing us and molding us to who He wants us to be so we can go out and reach others in our neighborhood. So we finally got here in December, the end of December, and we're grateful to be meeting lots of our neighbors, and hopefully even more so with the weather changing. And but through it all, the love and support of this church for our family has been overwhelming as well. And that we've, even though we were over the bridge feeling separate, there was still a closeness with just being here and getting involved and the small groups and the dinners and the events and things went on. And I'm just very grateful how God is faithful and how He just was with us the whole time and the work that He's done. So I'm looking forward to see what we're all going to do as a church family going out from here. Thank you.
Yeah, I got nothing. I just came to support my wife. Thanks, hon. Today is our wedding anniversary, so I figured I'd tell everybody that. And I still got nothing. But I do, when Sammy said that the guy who said we're in way over our heads, there's a bump in the concrete in there. That's him. So I'm just kidding. We didn't bury him in the concrete. It's just a joke. Everybody stands up here and they talk about the love they have for one another. Well, at some point during this time, I probably wanted to kill everybody in the room. That was a long time ago. I sit in the meetings for 4 hours and I don't want to be there. I listen to ideas that I don't understand, I don't get. This is an unbelievably eclectic group, and I don't even know what eclectic means, but it just seemed to fit the situation. Here's what I do know. If I got judged on my thoughts, I'd get lethal injection. So my actions are hopefully a little better than my thoughts. only God could organize a group like this. We got professors, we got teachers, we got engineers, we got me. And so only God could organize that. Here's what I do know is that he saved me to be here with you guys because you all are my family. And it's such an honor to be able to serve with you because I have learned so much from you and you have been so patient with me. So I'm just anxious to see what's going on here. So I'm thankful for all of you. I don't want to kill anybody anymore. God's working on my pride. Watch the bump in the concrete. Thanks for being here. I just love everybody here.
Hello. I wasn't planning on sharing. I wasn't sure if I was able to make it out today because I'm dealing with a lot of health issues with dizziness. Like I'm drunk on a boat. That's really how I feel. It's scary at times and feeling like really fatigued. But I praise God for being here today that I'm able to testify of God's greatness. And I want to share Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his mighty deeds. And praise him according to his excellent greatness. And I testify of God's mighty deeds. As all of you are, we're proclaiming the mighty deeds of God and how great he is. This has been an answer to prayer of mine since I lived in the city for so long. I'm a city girl. And I see the brokenness in the city. I was a broken city girl, still broken, and the Lord's put me together. And I see the brokenness of the people in the city, and it's been such a burden on my heart to have a church like Christ Church come to the city. And I thank God for Jeff and how he answered that prayer. It's been a prayer of mine for many, many, many years to have a church like Sovereign Grace come to the city. And I was just so excited when I heard that Jeff is going to be doing a church in the city. I couldn't be more enthused and excited. It's sad to say, though, I wasn't really part of the church plan because of my sickness. I was living in a house that I end up getting lung disease, and I have a lot of other health issues that I had to move out of my house, go to my mom's house for a year and a half. I proclaim God's greatness in this time right now, how he turns my trials into blessings. He's turning my trials into blessings because now that I'm living with my mom for a year and a half, it's changing my heart. It's been a home that's been filled with pain. My father committed suicide in that house. There's a lot of painful memories in that house. I had some things against my mom in that house, and yet God like brought me there because I had no other place to live but my mom's house. And I just testify of how he's changing my heart and how I really love my mother now, the way I wanted to love her, and I couldn't love her because there was like a block in me, there was like a pain in my heart for me to truly love my mother the way I wanted her to, and he's breaking down all those walls so I can really embrace my mother and love her the way I really wanted her to. So that's a really great work that God's doing in that part. And with my health condition, I thank God for it, because I'm the type of person, I'm always on the go. It's so hard for me to slow down. Always on the go, running, 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 running. And with this health condition, I have no choice but to lay down and to rest. Like Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He's leading me beside the still waters, and he's restoring my soul." And I can testify that's what God's doing in my heart right now. He's restoring my soul. He's making me lie down in those green pastures. I'm actually enjoying the time of rest. I'm learning to know how it is to rest my body, to rest my mind, to give up control, and to really take one day at a time. Not to worry about tomorrow. I'm really living one day at a time because I don't know how I'm going to feel the next day to make any plans. I never know how I'm going to feel. If someone says, "Can you come here? Can you come here?" I don't know. I just have to see the Lord's willeth. So it's really teaching me to really be dependent on God and just to live that one day at a time. And I'm I thank God for all of you, because in my sickness, not being part of the church plant, I'm really grateful to have all you guys really cared for me and my husband, how you provided meals. For a long time, you've provided meals for me and support. And I really felt, even though I was absent and being part of it, I felt I was part of it just because you allowed me to feel accepted and part of the church plant. And I'm very grateful for that. And the Lord is sufficient in all this. I'm experiencing more of his grace than ever in my life.
I'm the other half of I like to open with scripture. It just stirs my heart when I open with scripture that really pertains to the past couple of years, exactly what I've been experiencing and my wife. The Lord just encouraged my heart with this the past few weeks. It kind of sums up, you know, just what we've been going through, especially myself, being stubborn, you know, not drawing near to the Lord through these things and resisting his grace and separating myself, withdrawing. And so thankful for pastor and men in the church that pursued me by God's grace through all that. I mean, it was just, I was at a place where I felt like God cast me off, really, just through all the trials and things that were going on. I felt like I wasn't going to be a part of this church. You know, I had planned on it, but all these things that came upon me, the trials and the challenges, I just felt like God was against me. And he just didn't want me to be part of this. You know, we missed most of the preliminary meetings and gatherings and just got to the point where I felt like dying, you know, hopeless. But the Lord encouraged my heart with his scriptures recently just to sum up what the experience was. It says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 through 11, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world." And this is the key verse. It really encouraged my heart because I feel like I'm experiencing this right now. "And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." And that's what I feel like the Lord's been doing through all this, especially recently. I just sense his joy and his peace, and it's a joy to serve with you. You know, just the work that's been done here in the church, it's been a joy to come out and serve, and I feel like the Lord's restoring me and my wife, and thankful to be a part of Christ Church with all of you. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. I was just sitting there thinking about a year ago where Sovereign Grace, Marlton, just gathered with friends and family and just so excited about what God was going to do in South Philly. And it just made me think over and over again in my life and in this 1 year of our church's life just how God's timing is so perfect. I remember just being so excited that day, and then it's only a couple days later that Jeff sent out an email to the church letting us know that his doctors had actually advised him to be hospitalized during that day that we were being sent off, and yet he was able to be there. And then just finding out that maybe Jeff wasn't going to be able to be with us our first Sunday, not at Marlton. And then just hearing Jeff's heart and him talk about how if he would have known that his Crohn's was going to flare up as bad as it did, he would have never taken this step of faith to start this church. And just, I remember hearing him talk about that at that time. And to me, that was just confirmation, like, God's timing is perfect. God knew that he wanted us as a church in South Philly. He knew that he wanted Jeff to lead a church here in South Philly. And so he allowed that disease to stay dormant long enough to get us here. And then God was like, all right, now you're going to have to rely on me. And I feel like just this year of It's been a lot of joys, a lot of trials for our church. And yet the one great theme of this year has just been having to rely on God and God's power and God's strength, that this church wasn't going to be built on our backs or on our shoulders or on our righteousness, but we were going to be wholly dependent on God and on God's righteousness. And just God's perfect timing in that. And then, as all of you know, I was married this past year, so praise God for a wife and a godly wife who loves me and loves God, but loves the church as well. And so, and just thinking again in terms of God's timing, Jesse and I grew up together, as most of you guys know, and yet, for whatever reason, God veiled my eyes to her gorgeous beauty and her godly character until I was in New Jersey. Why? That doesn't make sense to in man's eyes, right? But God knew that he wanted Jesse and I to be here in Philadelphia with this church, on this church plant, on mission for God in South Philly. And if we had fallen in love in high school or even in our early college years, I would have never taken a job in New Jersey and moved up here. South Philadelphia would just be a place where they have a poor football team. But praise God that that's not the case, that God veiled our eyes until we were where he wanted us to be, and then he allowed us to see that. So just praise God for his timing. And then lastly, just thinking in God's timing, this building. I remember a year ago we didn't have a building, and if Jeff and the leadership team would have known when they signed the lease for this building that a year after being away from Sovereign Grace that we still would not be open to the public, I'm sure they would have either hesitated or never signed that line. And yet, just God's faithfulness in his timing. It didn't make sense to us this last year why we weren't able to be here and open to the public. And yet, I have great faith that a year from now, we will say, praise God that his timing was perfect and when this church was going to open, and that God's going to do mighty things in and through our church here in the community. I think it's clear that this building is where God wants us to be. This neighborhood is exactly where God would have us to be, and he's going to do mighty things through it. So just praise God for his faithfulness and his timing in the last year.
Am I this tall? Okay. I just wanted to speak about how you guys have been like God's hands and feet to us and our family over this last year. Okay. I can like be pregnant and have hormones and do this, right? It's okay. You guys know our family's all like far away. So this last year when we had a new baby and two toddlers and now like being pregnant again, we've had a lot of needs and not a lot of support from our family to be able to support those needs. And I just when Jeff sent out his email and he said, think about like ways you've seen God's love in our church, that's what comes to my mind. Like every week over this last year, someone has served in this group. Like every family in this room has served our family somehow in this time when we've had a lot of needs. And I've just really seen like God's presence in the way that you guys have all served us, and I love being a part of your family, and I just wanted you guys to know that you're all our family in a special way, because our like biological family is far away, and we love them dearly in their own way, but like when I need chicken soup, they don't bring me chicken soup. But you guys bring me chicken soup or take my kids for the afternoon or something like that. And I'm so excited to see how God's going to grow our family. And I'm so thankful that we don't just have my mom and dad and my sister to be our family, but we have all of you guys. So thank you.
Hey, everyone. There we go. Okay. Hey, everyone. So as some of you know, Nick and I have a little bit of a different story. We hate the country. We hate the suburbs. We love the city. So we actually were at Drexel for 5 years and lived in University City for 5 years before coming to South Philly. And we so much appreciate the sacrifice that everyone has made. And I feel bad saying this, but it's been so easy for us. It's been it's been really easy for us to be here. But yeah, so two years ago on New Year's Day, we were trying to go to Center City for breakfast, and we ended up at Melrose Diner because of the stupid Mummers Parade. We couldn't cross Broad Street, so we ended up at Melrose Diner. And that morning, sitting there, we were sitting at breakfast, and that morning we knew we were supposed to be in South Philly. We were like, nope, this is where we're moving, because we weren't sure. We knew we wanted to be in the city. We were going to take a year to go pray, and there were a lot of plans that we had, and God just, nope, you're going to be in South Philly. And sorry, I have this all written out. So these 2 years since that New Year's Day have just been 2 years of assurance and blessing for us from the Lord, and the Lord has proven himself so faithful to us, and it's been beautiful. So anyway, I can't talk. Psalm 16 has been really an anthem for us for the last 2 years, and I'll read it to you. It says, I'm sorry. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places indeed. I have a beautiful inheritance. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. And just these 2 years have been beautiful, and the lines have indeed fallen for us in pleasant places. I'm sorry, I'm getting emotional. Anyway, Nick and I have been so thankful to God for the work he has done in these past 2 years, and that these lines have been beautiful, and we believe that he has built this church, and the people in this church are part of what has made these lines beautiful and made this journey over the last 2 years so amazing. We're thankful for his kindness, and we're thankful for the friendships he's given us here and for how deeply we've experienced care here. We came from a really big church where we got lost in the shuffle, and I can't express to you just the care and the love that we feel here as part of Christ Church. It's been amazing. We are part of a kingdom that cannot be shaken. The lines have indeed fallen for us in pleasant places, and the Lord continues to guide us as a church. God has proven himself faithful over these last 2 years with trials and blessings as a church. But what a privilege it is to worship and serve the Lord with all of you. We look forward with the anticipation to continuing this work and for the numbers that he's going to add to this church. Sorry.
Hello. Similar to my mom, I just want to share about the work that God's done in me since I moved here. I grew up in the suburbs of New Jersey, and I'm just comfortable there and used to it, and have always been kind of afraid of the city. And to be honest, I'm not always comfortable here, but I do have a peace. God's given me such a peace being here, because as stubborn as I can be not wanting to share Christ with people, even though that's why I'm here, he's given me so many opportunities just to share with coworkers and to form friendships with neighbors. So all of this is just how I know God wants me to be here. He's just proven himself faithful through those things. And also, my fiance has just moved to live here too. He's felt called by God to live here. So that's just proof that God is going to have us here once we're married now too. And just the place we're moving to, again, it's not like the most comfortable place for me, but I know God's going to give us friendships as a couple, and just have us meet new people and share Christ with them. And God's really given me a peace, as uncomfortable as I can be, just giving me a peace to be here. And then also just the friendships that I've formed at church with you all has just been awesome and encouraging, and I've just learned so much. And then also just really thankful for Jeff. He's gone from being just a friend of my older brother's to now my pastor, and I really look up to him, and I'm so thankful for his guidance. Thank you.
Good morning. So those of you who know me know that I am a planner. And so I feel like if I could sum up my experiences over the last year, or even the last 2 years, is just in being the last to know what was happening and where I was supposed to be. And everybody else seemed to know before I did. And a couple examples of that are having lots of conversations with Clet about this church plan and about moving. And when we lived together previously, we had talked about considering this church plan. And so as it got closer and it became a reality, I started giving her parameters. Well, okay, if I get this store out in Collegeville, it makes sense to live in the city. So if I get that store, I'll go. And so I got the store, and I told her I wasn't going. And so it just, there were still just reasons logistically didn't make sense. And so Krista had just gotten home from a missions trip, and we went out to dinner, and we're catching up, and she was just asking about my thought process, and really had, I don't think, any motivations in our conversation. She may very well not even remember it. And she looked at me at one point in the dinner and just said, okay, so I know you said, you know, you would want Collegeville and all of these different things to come into place, and they have, so what would it actually take to get you there? And I remember sitting there and just thinking, like, I don't know. I don't know. I've gotten everything I said I needed for this to make sense. And so I was doing some hiring and training, having just taken over this store, and I hired a merchandiser. And so we were in the morning together, which isn't a schedule I normally work, but she was onboarding, and I was just making sure she was comfortable. And she's got her back to me merchandising this wall, and we're just chit-chatting, and I'm trying to just get to know her a little bit. And she lived in South Philly, and she just turned around and looked at me as somebody who's known me for all of a week and said, South Philly is just amazing. If you ever have the chance to move there, you really should. And so I said, okay, touche. And so with that, I essentially made a phone call, or no, that's not what happened. We were doing some apartment hunting. I told Kristen Klett that I was considering it and that I'm just not sure. I'm kind of on this fence, and they called me and said, we found this fantastic apartment, and we just love it, but we need to know that you're in. And so without looking at the apartment and without really having felt secure in this decision, I said, you know what, sign the lease. Let's go. And so a year ago, I was living in the heart of Pennsport in a beautiful apartment, and I was house hunting. And so kind of the last to know that I was moving into the city in the first place, and just kind of following some different feelings, which isn't really a way that I normally make decisions. Started looking in a neighborhood that's not at all like the heart of Pennsport, and ultimately, long story short, ended up in a neighborhood that looks nothing like the heart of Pennsport. And it's just really cool to stand here now and think about all of the relationships that have been built both as a church and within the neighborhood, people that I talk to all the time that I depend on, that I've, you know, really come to love. And it's really exciting to look at the next year, as it took Jim and Cheryl a long time to get here, but they're here and they're around the corner. They can walk to my house faster than they could drive. And then to have Zoe and Dante, who are moving around the other corner, like not even a full block, and to see that this neighborhood that I had developed such a burden for is now a heart that I, or now a neighborhood that I also feel like God's heart has a burden for, and to see that in a tangible way is exciting, and is something that I'm excited to get to experience, and get to experience with people like Zoe and Dante and Jim and Cheryl and us as a large church, larger church. It's just an exciting time. And so a year of unknown has led to a future year of excitement. And any of you who know me know that that was quite a leap.
Well, so trying to sum up a year's worth of memories and just the experiences we've had is, I'm a little sick too, so my mind is a little funky, so I apologize if it don't make sense. But I think the best way, as I think about the past year and even thinking about if looking forward to this particular day and realizing that it took a year to even get into this building and where would I have been at, and I think I've probably been a little impatient and maybe frustrated that we haven't started out as a church in a sense that we open the doors to the public and be able to invite people out. And but as I sit here today, and that's not at all my thought process, I just think about all the friendships that we've grown and formed through the past year. I love bragging to other friends or old friends and family about just the friendships that we've had here and just the character and the godliness that I see in each and every one of you. And I just, as I'm looking around, I just see so many, such humility and hearts that just long to serve. I just give glory to God for you all, just your godliness and each and every one of you. I just, as I'm looking around, I just have an example in my mind of that in each and every one of you. And I think of the passage in Galatians that Jeff preached on me about 6 months ago, where he said, where it says, "Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." And I've just seen examples of that. That's how you guys have bore our burdens, how you've bore each other's burdens. And I just think that the world, I think that makes Jesus look glorious to the world. And I just love the way you guys sing with passion. And I love just seeing the love that you have for the Lord. And I think of several men here that through which I have been challenged, and I think through our friendships, I've come to love the Lord more, and I give glory to God for that. That's really awesome, because I see the Lord's care for me through you, and I just really delight in that. I've also, as I've grown to love the Lord more, I've also grown to hate the Eagles more, but I think more importantly, I've grown to love the Lord more. I also just want to, I think of two families, and you guys too. I think of the Catos, who we've known for less than, a year and a half or so, whatever, maybe 2 years, and just, it's only been a year and a half, and just the friendships we have with you guys, and just love you guys, some of the closest friends to us. Despite only knowing each other for a year and a half. And I think of Italianos, and don't tell you guys enough, but just so thrilled to do church with you guys again. And I was just thinking about that the other day. I was, someone asked me about, didn't you guys have friends that came with you guys? It so delights my heart that you guys are here with us. So that's really awesome. So I think that's all my mind can comprehend right now. So thank you.
Kids, you're doing a great job being quiet, so I'm really, really impressed with you. Can I have all the little guys actually come forward to me? When I say little guys, I'm going to include the 10-year-olds. You're not little, but you're still part of children's ministry. So if all the kids in children's ministry could come up, we'll talk to you for a second. Good job. So guys, come on up. So I want you guys to look at the church real quick. So you guys turn around and look. You see all these people, did you hear all those stories that people were sharing and were saying? They're only able to say those things. You guys, listen to this. They're only able to say those things and do those things because you guys are here too. And so you guys are a part of this church. You guys are a part of what God is doing all here. And so while we don't have time to let all you guys share, I want you guys to know you guys are a big part of this church, and adults, I thought that we could applaud these kids for being part of this church and all the sacrifices they've made this year. So, we're glad to keep all clapping for you. We're all clapping for you. We're so proud of you guys. All right, we can go back to your seats now. We're so proud of you guys. Check, check. Is that on now? There we go. Now it's on. You want to stay up here, AJ? Stay up here. Well, as we're drawing to a close, I did want us to hear from a couple other important people who have been a significant part of the start of this church, and that's just other pastors who have invested here. So don't want to by any means think that this is just all from me. There's other people who have pastored us and cared for us, and so just have three very short videos, about 2 minutes each, that we're going to show. And the first is from Jonathan Olson. He's a pastor here in South Philly. You guys remember Pastor Jonathan, and he's kind of like a big brother to me in many ways, and so just want to hear his heart for our church. Hopefully.
Happy birthday, Christ Church. This is Jonathan Olson from Grace and Peace Community Church right here in South Philly with you guys. And we are so excited that you are celebrating your first year anniversary of worship services. I can remember when we experienced that 4 years ago. We're celebrating our fifth year this upcoming July. So we know where you are. We've been there, and we're so excited about what God is doing in your midst. Some of you will know me. Jonathan Olson, we worshiped together here a while back. Pastor Jeff preached. Some of your musicians helped lead worship. It was a wonderful day of worshiping Jesus and fellowshipping together. And on behalf of Grace and Peace Community Church, I just want to tell you, we love you. We are so excited about what Jesus is doing in you and through you. We're so privileged to be in partnership with you as the one true church of Jesus Christ here in Philadelphia. We're so excited for the memories that we already have. Many of us knew you guys before some of you even moved into the city. And we came over to New Jersey and talked with you and prayed with you and fellowshipped with you and dreamed about what it would look like for Christ Church to be in the city of Philadelphia. So we are celebrating with you. We love you, Pastor Jeff and Angie. We love you. I love you. We love you, Sophie. We love you, Judah. We love your church, and we're so excited to be in partnership with you. Thank you for loving us and letting us play a role in what God is doing in you and through you in South Philly. And we're excited about, Lord willing, what's going to happen a week from today when you guys get to have your first worship service in your new building. And we're excited about more birthdays in the coming year. New births where people, through the preaching and sharing of the good news, come out of the darkness of sin and death and into the light of Jesus Christ. Born again people here in South Philadelphia at Grace and Peace and at Christ Church. So we're excited about this birthday for you. We're excited about new birthdays in the coming year. And I'm excited about your new building and you having problems of getting in there. Not getting in there the time that it's taken to get in there on the 29th. But I'm excited about the place filling up and people having a hard time getting in there in weeks and months to come. We love you. We're for you. And we're so excited to be in partnership with you. God bless you guys.
Awesome. Next, we're going to hear from Pastor Ian McConnell. He was here a couple weeks ago and preached. He's the National Church Planting Director for Sovereign Grace Ministries. And he's just a vital friend of mine as well. Lots of my thoughts regarding the church and mission are shaped by this man. And so I'm grateful for his friendship also. So whenever you guys are ready, you can go ahead and play that.
How you doing, Christ Church? Obviously, you're doing great because you're celebrating your one-year anniversary as a local church down in South Philadelphia. And I wanted to take the opportunity to let you know that I am celebrating this landmark with you. It's such a joy to know that you are present in this city making much of Jesus Christ. And I have three reasons why I am grateful that you are here in this city. The first reason is because of our partnership with Sovereign Grace. We have a history within our family of churches of planting and building churches together with the gospel. And you are a part of that history. And so you stand in a long line of men and women who have counted the cost and have sacrificed to go somewhere they weren't before in order to make Jesus known. So on behalf of Sovereign Grace Churches, thank you for all the sacrifices you have made, all the risks that you've been willing to take in order to move into South Philadelphia and to plant this local church. I'm also thankful on a personal level. This is my city. I was born and raised here. And I have such a heart for the men and women of this city to come into contact with Jesus Christ. And because you're present in this city, that means there are more men and women from all different backgrounds and walks of life who are going to encounter Jesus because they're going to encounter you. And I am so thankful that there are going to be people who get to know Christ because you're here. And then on the level of our local church here in Northeast Philadelphia, Grace City Church, we are so thankful that you're here. Yes, we are together in Sovereign Grace, but we're also together as local churches in this particular city. I mean, it was a highlight of 2015, last Sunday night, when our congregations got together and we told stories of what Jesus was doing to make his name great. We called out to him in prayer. We worshiped and celebrated his greatness together. And I just see that as a preview of the days and weeks and months and years to come. We're in this together in a very real way here in Philadelphia. And so, guys, so thankful. We love you. We are thankful for you. We have your back. So we're here to support you, encourage you, do anything we can to help you do what you're called to do there in the neighborhood of Pennsport, Passyunk East. We're just very excited. I do want to leave you with a promise that I believe will stir you for the next year. Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I mean, think about this, Christ Church. Jesus has something he's building for the sake of his name right there in your neighborhood, and nothing can stop it. You are a part of an unstoppable mission. The gospel is going to go forward and multiply new disciples. It's going to continue to go forward in your community, maturing those of you who are already following Christ. This is going to be a successful mission. So whatever Jesus plans to accomplish through your local church, right there on that corner, is going to be accomplished. Nothing can stop it. And I am so glad that I am this close to watching it happen. And can't wait to continue to celebrate with you all for the glory of God. Happy anniversary. Praise the Lord.
And the final video that we have is from the pastor who's had the most significant influence on us as a church. And that would be the pastor, senior pastor, who sent us out. Who's also my dad and has had, obviously, a significant influence on my life. So he wanted to make sure that you heard from him this morning, too. So you guys can go ahead and play our final video.
Congratulations, Christ Church Philly, for celebrating your first anniversary from your friends here at Sovereign Grace Church. I know as you started this year, probably a year. Congratulations, Christ Church Philly, for celebrating your first anniversary from your friends here at Sovereign Grace Church. I know as you started this year, probably a year ago, you didn't think that your senior pastor would be undergoing serious surgery. You didn't anticipate that it would take you a year to be in this auditorium space that you're now enjoying. But what you have experienced is God's faithfulness, and it's what you will experience. God's been faithful to you as a church family, and he will be faithful to you in the future as well. We're so proud of you from our church to see what you've done. We're grateful for your love for the Savior. We're grateful for your love for one another, and we're grateful for your love for the city that God sent you to bring his gospel of hope to people who really need it. So enjoy this day. Celebrate God's faithfulness. We have just wonderful thoughts about you all the time. We are enjoying celebrating our partnership with you in the gospel, and we love you. Have a great day.
anyone who knows my dad, it's very appropriate that his video be the one that we have technical difficulties with. So that's great. Well, as we just kind of bring things to a close, and kids, you're doing a great job. We're going to sing together in a second and enjoy that together. But as I thought about what I'd want to say to you today, there's a couple of options. One of them was I could just drop down into details in each one of your lives, and I was actually really eager to do so of how I've seen God at work in you this past year. However, there's no way that time would permit us to do that. And so what I want to do is you can anticipate a letter from me this week where I am going to drop down into those details and take some time to send this out to all the members. I just want you to hear my heart. However, I can't, and it would be completely inappropriate, especially in this room, for me to not highlight two specific individuals who we would not be here right now if sitting in these chairs with the stage behind us and all that you see around us without these two people, and that's Sam Cardillo and Steve Kroll. And I'm going to ask you to applause, but before I do that, let me just fill out some details for a couple minutes about these men. This building, you know, was really, we entered into a lease about a year ago, but before we entered into the lease in this building, we had four walkthroughs of this building, multiple hours spent there. They were present at each one of those. We had multiple meetings to talking about moving into this building. We had many negotiations with the owner of this building that they were involved in the details of in very varying ways, but significant ways. And then once we actually got the building, then they really started to get involved. And they spent just hours and hours and hours laboring to get us in here. You know, I looked through briefly to try to calculate, and I couldn't get this exact, but I think there's about over 100 hours of phone conversations we've had in the past year about this building. I think there's about 300 emails that we've had. We didn't have general contractors, so we kind of, the three of us together, mainly them and me trying to not get in their way as much as possible, to make decisions and to get into this place that we could use to gather together as God's church, to enjoy God together and to proclaim Christ as a community to our community around us. And so there's been hundreds of hours of conversation, 300 plus emails. And then when I got sick a month ago, for our guests, just so you know, I have someone with Crohn's disease that flared up really bad. I was out for about 7 weeks. So Sam really stepped in as the point of contact, working with all our various subcontractors. Steve really stepped in with a lot of the code and making sure that people were doing things right and how they should be. And so they really stepped in to fill a void that, you know, I quite frankly just wasn't even physically here to be able to do. So church, we're indebted to these men. You know, I don't want to overly highlight them, but the reality is they're the means that God has used to get us to where we're at. We've all been here. You've all painted. You've all done things. But if you start to average it out, it averages out to about 10 to 15 hours per week that Sam and Steve have spent in this building working here or in conversation outside of that. It's been a significant effort. And so as we get ready to celebrate our grand opening, as we get ready to celebrate our first Easter, as we begin to think about having our first baptisms of people that are going to be converted and come to faith in Christ through the preaching of his gospel here, we're indebted to these men. And we want to make sure that we are I want to make sure that you properly understand, as I get a lot of thanks, I'm the public face a lot of times of the church, I want to make sure that you understand the significant role that these guys have played. So church, can we just thank them for the role that they've done in getting us here? And the only people that deserve more thanks for them is their wives. And so if you begin to think about 10 to 15 hours, put yourself in their wives' position, especially the Krolls with young children, and think about the significant sacrifice that that has meant for them. Not even just the hours, but the burden, the extra burden that these men have carried just on their souls and praying about this stuff. So can we thank their wives specifically as well? I'm grateful for you. Well, I do want to close with, before we sing our final worship song with this verse from 2 Corinthians 4, chapter 4, verse 1. The Word of God says this: "Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart." And so, church, I just want to remind us that everything we heard this morning was due to one reason only, and that is the mercy of God. We heard a lot about how we're a family. We heard a lot about how there's a lot of ministry going on, just even one to another. And yet the reason that all these things are taking place, the reason that we are here, is because of the mercy of God. Paul goes on to say that about unbelievers, that in their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. But then he goes on to say, "But for you, God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus." Why are we here loving Christ? It's not because we're special. It's not because we're good religious people. It's not because we found God. When you're in darkness, there's nothing you can do to help yourself. You need light to come, and that's what God has done. God has come and has shone light into us. And it's important to get the parallel that Paul's drawing here. For the God who said, "Let us shine light out of the darkness," the God who created in the beginning of times light, is the same God who created in us the light of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We are here, we're able to say all these things because we receive mercy from God. What we deserve for our sins is to be left in our unbelief. And yet God has not left us in our unbelief, but God has shined the light of the gospel into our hearts. And isn't this what gives us great hope for our city? Isn't this what gives us great hope that as we're here, it's not going to be through powerful preaching, although I pray there's preaching in my power in my preaching. It's not going to be through us even loving people in the relationships. It's going to be through God using all those things to shine his light into people's hearts. And the same God who created life in us is going to create new life in others. And he's going to build his church here for the glory of Christ. And so, church, let's not lose heart. If it's only one guest that comes out next week to our grand opening, let's not lose heart. Let's remember the lessons that we've learned this past year. Here's a recipe for disaster. Plant a church and don't have a building that you can invite people out to, and have your lead pastor be out of the pulpit for 7 weeks. And yet we're here. And we're strong. I don't know what you heard this morning. I heard strength as you shared. And that is because of the mercy of God. And so let's not forget that lesson. Let's remember how God's been merciful to us individually. Let's remember how God's been merciful to us as a congregation. And may that strengthen us to not lose heart, but to have great vision for what God is going to continue to do to build his church here in South Philadelphia, for the glory of his name. Let's pray, and as I pray, if the worship team could join me, we're going to close with singing. Dear God, we thank you, Lord, that even though we don't have great numbers to show from this year, even though we don't have great statistics to point to, we can point to your greatness at work in our lives, which is no less significant. And so, God, we thank you for the great things that you have done. We thank you for calling us to yourself. We thank you for shining the light of your gospel into our sin-darkened hearts. And God, as we think about and now sing about the great things that you have done, I pray that would stir our hearts for the great things that you're going to do in the coming year. God, would you do great things for the glory of your name, so that this city, and in particular our section of this city in South Philadelphia, might know that you are the one and only true living God who is great. And would you do this for the glory of your name, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. Let's stand and sing about the great things that God has done.